Welcome to the Management Minute with Dr. Donita Brown, where we sit down with business leaders to gain valuable insights and advice on how to navigate the world of management. Whether you're a seasoned manager or just starting out, this podcast is for you. I'm Donita Brown, a professor in the College of Business at Lipscomb University. I'm also an author, speaker, and habit coach. For almost 20 years, I worked in corporate America and managed teams of 2 to 102. Welcome to this week's episode. Today's guest is Sue Noakes. Sue, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Now, your job is to give us a one-sentence bio. And I will tell you, some people just say, I'm not even going to try to give a one-sentence bio. And some people give a very succinct one sentence. So I'm excited to see which camp you're going to fall into today.
I'm going to be somewhere in the middle.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm the newest member on the Board of Trustees at Lipscomb. I have served on multiple boards, both profit and nonprofit. I started as an entry-level clerk 100 years ago and going to college at night, and I climbed that so-called corporate ladder. I've spent 30 years at senior leadership and in the C-suites and executive committees in those companies such as AT&T, Ameritech. I launched Walmart.com as the original senior leadership team. I was an SVP and moved to COO at T-Mobile. We went from worst to first in customer service satisfaction in 18 months. I had 33,000 employees at the peak. We were negative EBITDA and went to $6.3 billion in positive EBITDA. My last corporate role was at Asurion, where I was the global customer solutions leader and on the executive committee.
Man, that is great. I'm really excited to hear you answer the three questions we have for you today. Do you mind if we get started with question number one?
Not at all.
All right. How do your values impact your management philosophy?
Well, I think my values impact everything. I think my values shape how I interact with everyone in my world. I hope my values include things like integrity and honesty and serving others and being a winner and successful. That's what I think. What's important as a leader is what do others see in me and what they perceive my values to be, and that becomes my brand. So it's how we conduct ourselves every day. People are assessing us and they are listening to what we say, but they are watching what we do. And do my actions reflect what I say is important to me? And it's then when people determine if you can win their hearts and minds and whether they will follow you as a leader, because you want them to come out of commitment, not compliance.
How do you follow up on that? How do you make sure they're following you out of commitment?
Well, my professional philosophy, I don't like to talk about management philosophy. I use leadership versus management. But my philosophy has always been CEO. And it does not stand for a title of a person. It stands for customers, employees, and owners. And I believe that in any organization, academia, nonprofits, for-profits, that there is a customer and that we don't exist. Employees and organizations don't exist without the customer. So the customer has to come first. You have to be maniacally focused on them and meeting and exceeding their needs and delivering a product or service that is useful to them. But then 1A are your employees. And all employees are important. But to me, the most important employee in the organization is the frontline employee. It's the person that interfaces every day with your customer, whether it's in a store, on the phone, in a truck, at your home. They carry your brand, my brand, in our hands every day. And then I believe if we maniacally focus on the customer and you give employees, you build a culture where they are given the proper training and information and tools they need to do their job. And oh, by the way, that there is a career path for them, that you develop them, that you invest in them and take an interest in them and ask them what they want to be when they grow up so that you can help them achieve their personal goals while they're helping the organization achieve their goals. That's how I've tried to conduct my leadership life.
I love that. I love that. Customers, employees, and owners. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk a little bit about the owners too?
Well, I believe that if you maniacally focus on the customers and you hire employees, that you give them the proper training and tools and information they need to do their job, and that they will then take care of your customers, and customers vote with their money, which is the owners. And so the owners win, and really everybody wins. The customer gets what they want. The employee works for a great company they can be proud of, and they are achieving their personal goals, and the owners then reap the rewards of the business. As a leader and going into an organization, I think it's critical for us to create a vision or an aspiration of who who we can be or who we want to be, and make sure that the folks agree that that's who we should be and what we should be. And then the team comes together and agrees on a shared set of values by which we're going to conduct ourselves to achieve those goals and ambitious aspirations that we have.
Thank you. That is great. Customers, employees, and owners. I love that. Yep. Thank you for sharing that acronym.
Yes.
Are you ready to move to question number two?
Yeah, one last thing there, and that is, I believe you got to hold everybody accountable for that and doing the right thing. So if indeed we agree that this is our aspiration, and if indeed we agree that these are our goals and our values are our values, they're shared and that's how we're going to conduct them, then I believe that we've got to hold people accountable and recognize and reward them both positively and negatively. So if indeed, and I can tell you, and I've listened to some of your podcasts, sometimes you have to say, you're not right for this team.
Right.
And when I went to T-Mobile, the very first person that I asked to leave the team was the only person that I had that was meeting all of their objectives.
Oh, wow.
And that person ran a site in Colorado, I won't tell you where, and I won't give you a name, and was meeting all their numbers. And we had agreed as an organization on what we were going to achieve, how we were going to conduct ourselves. Customer delight was going to drive our actions, leaders coach and develop leaders, all those things that we were going to do and how we were going to do it. So then I went out three times to every office. And in that case, the leader wasn't running the place, as we said. And so I talked to him about it the first time. I said, something not clear, because I'm a little surprised at what I'm seeing. Second time, that person blamed their managers. Mm. And the third time I said, I'm sorry, but you're just not, I thank you for all you've done for T-Mobile to date, but you're not going to take us to the next level of play. And I am telling you that it's one of the biggest things I did that sent the shock across the nation that said, my goodness, she's serious. And we do have to get results the right way. Yeah. And I'm telling you, things changed on a dime. We went from worst to first in customer service satisfaction in 18 months.
Wow.
Recognized by J.D. Power. And a lot of people worked very, very hard to make that happen. But I will tell you, it was your conduct and how you treat people and how we conduct business is just as important as getting those results.
Goes back to your values.
Yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for question number two?
Yes, ma'am.
Who or what has had the most impact on your management style?
Well, I'm going to give you the same obvious answer that a lot of people do. It starts with your parents. Yeah. I mean, my parents, you know, raised me very early on to love the Lord and have faith, but they told me that I could be anything I wanted to be as long as I found work I love, that I treated others like I'd like to be treated, and that I worked very, very hard. And then in leadership, I learned from a company called Sin Delaney about this thing called the shadow of a leader. And if you study that a bit, what you find is as people, we start emulating from an early age. The first people we look up to and emulate are our parents. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Well, we go to school and then it becomes teachers, right? And a teacher can make a big difference in whether a person loves or hates school. Oh, by the way, you still hear it about church. I just was in the last 30 days, have heard three people say, well, I'm religious and I believe in God. But that church thing, because of something somebody did to them in a church, right? And so we can have a huge impact. And then what happens after church and school is we go to work. And then the next person that we're influenced by and we emulate is our boss. And we have good bosses, and you learn from the good bosses, and you emulate the things you want to be, and then you have bosses that aren't as great, but that doesn't cause you to leave business. It causes you to hopefully understand what you don't want to do and how decisions you don't want to make going forward. And then for me, it's a lifelong journey. So as we go along, we learn from different people, and hopefully we always remain humble students, and you can learn from anybody. And I enjoy that experiential learning from everyone. I think you can still learn, and people influence me daily.
I love that you said your parents, because many people do mention their parents, but also that you called out teachers. I just had a conversation with my youngest daughter's teacher about an incident, and she handled it exactly the right way. And I said to her, thank you, because I believe you handled this exactly the right way. And it could have made the difference between my daughter really liking school, which we want them to like when they're in grade school,
absolutely,
or not. But I think it's also important to realize that as college professors, or as people in the church, because we are the church when we're out in the world, or as bosses, we have a responsibility. And every day we have a responsibility to realize that people are watching, whether we want them to or not. They are watching how we conduct ourselves.
And they are watching what we say versus, what we do versus what we say. They have heard the words. If you're a teacher, if you're a boss, they've heard you say, oh, the customer is number one. Who's not going to say that? It's almost a communist that will tell you that a customer is not the most important thing in the organization. Do you behave that way?
Right.
Do you take customer calls? At T-Mobile, we made it a requirement that all director level and above first had to go sit in the call center and take calls for a few days in order to qualify for your bonus. And then after we did it in the care centers, we also did it in retail. You had to put on a T-Mobile shirt. You had to go into the store. You had to talk to the customer. You had to use that point of sale machine that we had so creatively, thought we were geniuses and put on their desktop and they had to use to serve customers with somebody staring at them. And I'll tell you, things get fixed and people have a different appreciation for one another.
Right. Walk a mile in my shoes, right?
That's right.
Excellent. Before we get to the next question, let's pause for a quick message about Lipscomb University's College of Business. Are you looking to sharpen your management skills and take your career to the next level? If so, look no further than the MBA program at Lipscomb University. Our part-time program is designed to provide you with the knowledge and the tools you need to excel in today's fast-paced business environment. Lipscomb offers both in-person and online formats that make it a perfect fit for full-time working professionals. Apply now and elevate your management skills. Learn more and apply at lipscomb.edu/business. Ready for question number three?
Yes.
What book has made the biggest impact on you?
Well, obviously the first book on me is the Bible, right? All things flow from there. Now, as I, went to school and business, there have been different authors and teachers over the decades. For an example, when I started out early, I was very heavily influenced by a guy named Tom Peters, who did In Search of Excellence and A Passion for Excellence. And oh my, he was the guru. Then there was a Rosabeth Moss Cantor who came out of Harvard, was more a behavioralist. And I met her and I almost had a heart attack because we were on a board, a nonprofit board in Boston together. And then there's Peter Drucker, who always seems to stand the test of time. And
oh, for sure.
Absolutely. He weathers it all. And then there was John Naisbitt, who did the mega trends, and we all wanted to know about mega trends and what was going to happen. And late in my career, I worked at Asurion, and our chairman founder was very close to Jim Collins, who did Good to Great and How the Mighty Fall. And we had the privilege to sit in the room and have him talk to us about those things. So I've enjoyed them all, but I continue to look for where are we headed and what is new and how are people thinking about things? Because I think being a lifelong learner and trying to be a humble student is critical to our success and our journey.
Thank you. Thank you for those author recommendations. All right. Are you ready for my favorite part of the podcast?
Well, I don't know what that is, but okay.
Okay. So it's 60 seconds of rapid fire questions.
Oh, gee whiz.
I have a page of questions. So your job is to make me run out of questions. So don't overthink it. You get one pass.
You don't have to worry about the overthinking part.
All right. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. If you could start a charity, what would it be?
For special needs.
What is the best part of your day?
Eating.
If you could relive any decade of your life, which one would you redo?
70s.
Do you eat or drink soup?
I eat soup.
What is the best gift you've received?
Friendship.
If you were a superhero, what powers would you want to have?
Cure world hunger.
What is your favorite animal?
Dog.
What's your passion project?
A passion project we just completed, and we opened a special need park at behind Northfield Church in Sumner County. And it's been a 4-year project of raising money and a lot of people doing a lot of stuff in it. We just opened it officially in August.
That's awesome. Do you like roller coasters?
I love them. Never met a roller coaster I didn't love. to this day.
What song reminds you of your high school?
Gosh, I don't know. I have so many. Every day when I walked into lunchroom, you don't want to know what song played. But
Well, that's a good one to end on.
Yes, it is.
So your job now is to give parting advice to managers. What's the best advice you can give a manager?
What I would encourage you to do is enjoy the ride because it goes fast. Remember, you don't have to know everything and you won't know everything. Surround yourself with smart people. Don't be concerned that they're smarter than you. Be courageous enough to pick people smarter than you so that you can continue to learn. Continue to focus on doing the things you love to do, because it's my experience that you love to do the things you're really good at. Mm. So find people to be on your team or help you with a project that love to do things differently than you do, so that everybody then gets to do what they love, share the common goal with a common set of values to get it done, and you can achieve great things. Don't forget the people along the way. Make sure you include everybody you can. Give people the room and space to do their job. Let them make mistakes. It's okay. You don't have to be perfect. And recognize and reward them and make them feel good about their contributions.
That's great. Sue Noakes, thank you so much for being this week's guest.
It's my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Management Minute. We hope you enjoyed this week's interview. If you like this episode, please share it with a friend or colleague. If you have suggestions for a future guest, please send me their contact information to donita.brown@lipscomb.edu. You can also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to connect with me on LinkedIn. Thank you.
This podcast is powered by the College of Business Content Creation Studio at Lipscomb University.